The Runaway Asteroid, Chapter 20, Desperation. The best minds of Starlight Enterprise and Space Command had been working for more than 24 hours on the problem of diverting the runaway asteroid, and had not even been able to restore power. Essie's best hope was in the Starmen, since they had been aboard the asteroid and had walked through its power plant. Madeira had to use the codes the Starmen had provided to come to the immense power plant. He had gone with about 30 men through the same passage that the Starmen had traversed. To illumine their way through the warehouse and corridors, others carried personal flashlights. As they made their way through the facility, the lights they carried cleaved the darkness, but behind them the absolute blackness closed up again. Although the men had been told in advance what to expect, when the doors of the elevator opened, they were just as awed as the Starmen and miners had been when they first beheld the scene. Madeira hefted a huge but lightweight lamp for use in the power plant. Though the power plant was completely dark and silent, there was a feeling among the men at the elevator door that they were at the edge of vastness. Madeira activated his lamp and shone it into the iron cavern. Its light penetrated about half a mile. In its cone, the latticework, panels, and tubing were revealed. When Madeira saw the extent of the plant, he smiled with deep appreciation and then encouraged the men to get to work. He assigned them to three groups. They were to spread throughout the plant and search for evidence of any burnout or other damage. The men went forth with lights, tools, and electronic equipment. Madeira himself set out to study one of the power stations and try to learn its secrets by personal examination. Captain Mary Owens woke Jesus Madeira out of a deep sleep. "Mr. Madeira," she said, approaching him gently where he had fallen asleep in his chair. He had returned to his office and workshop aboard the Tempest to study some diagrams he had made in the power plant. "The Star Ranger has arrived. The Starmen are waiting for you." "Thank you, Captain," said Madeira, lifting his head and rubbing his brown eyes. He ran his hand through his hair quickly, left his room, put on his helmet, and descended the outside ladder to the floor of the launching pad. He turned toward the control center and saw the Starmen on the other side of the wall. They all waved at him. Madeira was one of the Starmen's favorite acquaintances from Starlight Enterprise. He strode across the tarmac and passed through the airlock and hailed the young men. After he had removed his helmet and exchanged hasty preliminary greetings, he led them across the quad in front of the manufacturing center and through the great doors. Zip said, "We haven't kept up with the time limit. What do we got?" Madeira sighed. "If we can't move the asteroid, impact with Earth will take place on Thursday, September 8th at 2:35 p.m. That's about 6 days from now. It will strike in the Atlantic Ocean just north of the West Indies." "How much time have we got to turn it aside?" "Just a couple of days. After that time, no matter what we do, the asteroid will still strike the Earth somewhere." Moments later, they were at the site of the activity. The last portable power pack had been set up and connected to the closest console in the power plant. "Set?" asked Madeira of the technician who'd overseen the procedure. "Yes, sir, Mr. Madeira." "Let's go, Mark." The big Starman stepped up next to the console with Madeira. Mark felt a bit of stage fright. Anxiety coursed through him as he suddenly realized that there was so little time left, and that the ability to turn the asteroid aside depended on him. Having an audience of more than 30 men daunted him. Mark pressed the power button he had discovered before when the Starmen had been escaping from the pirates. The computer screen surged into life. The men cheered and Madeira smiled. Mark kept his eyes on the screen but spoke to Mr. Madeira. "I have a theory, Mr. Madeira. There must be power enough in this system, and far more than enough, to turn the asteroid aside. We don't need to find out what Zimbardo burned out. We should try to get access to the rest of the system. The diagrams I sent you show that there must be plenty of power. We just have to find out how to turn it on." That's sound reasoning, Mark, nodded Madeira, and probably easier than trying to locate whatever damage Zimbardo did. For some time, Mark and Madeira conversed quietly as Mark flipped through file after file. Diagrams appeared and Mark's fingers flew over the screen as he pointed out what he had learned while journeying on the Star Ranger. Madeira nodded and pointed out several connections Mark had not seen. 3 hours went by. Joe's eyes were drooping, but Zip was intent, his eyes on Mark. Suddenly Mark leaped back a foot. His hands lifted as if he had touched a hot surface. His face was white. His eyes were wide open, and he was breathing hard. His body was trembling as if he were deadly frightened. Zip shot forward, pushing his way through the crowd to reach Mark. "What is it, Mark? What's wrong?" His voice was urgent. "The power plant. It's thousands of years old." Mark wasn't looking at Zip. He was still looking forward as if his eyes were being drawn to the controls. "Pressing this button." He stopped and swallowed hard and blinked twice. "Pressing this button is the last step in activating the rest of the power plant. It should give us the power we need, but it's clear it hasn't been activated for thousands of years. There's no way to tell whether it's safe. This is a complicated system. If something is wrong..." Mark slowly turned to face Zip. "If something is wrong, if a bolt has slipped into the wrong place, if Zimbardo bypassed a vital circuit somewhere, or if a conduit is stopped up anywhere, all the energy this plant can produce could blow back at us. The entire works could explode into a million pieces." Zip looked at the floor for an instant, then looked up again and stared directly into Mark's eyes. "You're right, Mark, but there's no other choice. You have to do it." Mark exhaled quickly. "Oh, I know, Zip, I know. But as I reached out my hand, I had a sudden chill that our destruction was a second away. It just didn't feel right. And if this asteroid blows into fragments, then Earth will be peppered with hundreds of devastating impacts." Zip slowly turned and faced the silent crowd. Every face was marked with grave intensity. Joe stood at the back, his face drawn and tense. "You all heard," Zip said. "But you all know that we have no choice." No one said anything. A few men dropped their eyes and shuffled their feet. Zip turned to Mr. Madeira in silent appeal. Madeira nodded very slowly. Then Mark wiped both hands on his shirt and slowly reached out and pressed the last button. A distant grinding noise as of gears engaging sounded from far away. There was a whooshing sound as of air filling a giant bag. The grinding sound leveled off into a bare hum. The lights gradually came on. The men cheered. Mark looked relieved. The tension under which he had been operating quickly released. Then the bare hum began to build. It turned into a whine, and then into a shriek. The floor began to shudder. Mark wiped his eyes and stared at the screen. "The reaction is starting, but the energy level is climbing much faster than it should. Something's wrong." The men began to hear small explosions. There was a popping sound as a flexible tube burst a few yards away. Tinkling glass rained down in several places as light bulbs popped with the influx of too much energy. Mark began to flip rapidly through files on the screen. All at once, a panel 100 yards away blew out in a momentous explosion. A burst of brilliant white light blinded the men momentarily. As their eyes returned to normal, a loud hiss cut through the air and continued to build. Yellow and orange sparks erupted in a spectacular shower from the damaged panel. Mark turned toward the site with a look of panic. Without warning, a connector at the panel lit up with a coruscating orange color. Unable to handle the power surge, it began to melt and fragment. In less than a second, the damage shot through the connector and came to where it entered the computer terminal. There was a sickening deep zzzz sound, and the screen went dark. Mark slumped toward the floor.